All right, we're recording, and all the audio is here.
All right, so I'll record too, just in case something fails.
Hell yeah.
Yellow.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Keeping It ADHD. I'm Rolex, and this is my partner, the radio star. And I'm afraid this video may kill him.
Video kill the radio star.
That was not the melody.
That was not.
Video kill the radio star. That's what it is.
Got it.
You were close.
I heard it once. Like,
that's a banger.
Singing just that line somewhere.
It's a banger of a track. That's for sure.
Look, Bunny is also.
Hi, Bunny.
Welcome, everyone, to this episode.
Today,
we have not as structured episode as last time because we don't have Star Street, but we are here to talk about a topic of living abroad.
Yeah. So, Scarfy, it may shock you to know, did not grow up here. Fun fact.
It may shock you a little bit, just a tiny bit.
And I...
with permission.
Have always been a global citizen. My whole gosh dang life. So we're going to talk about what it's like to not be in America. What that's about. So
yeah. Since our audience seems to be mostly American, there are some European folks in there from what I've seen from our analytics on all the platforms. So I wanted to talk about this because I have a unique perspective as a quote-unquote unique perspective here, at least from us two, as a person who lived in Europe a long time and was... wait, were you born in the UK or were you born in the America?
I was born in America.
You were born in America.
Did you know, as a quick side note, there's only one place where you can actively change your nationality and it's only for a little bit. Do you want to know what it is?
Yes, please.
It's when you're in the bathroom, European. that's a good one. That was a good one. Oh, you didn't even... You were like, yes, what is it? Here, let me tell you.
I fully walked into that.
Dude,
one.
Dude, hook, line, and stinker. Gotcha. Oh my god.
Dad, what are you doing here?
Hey. Bless.
That was a good one. But
yeah.
Honestly, that is kind of also the truth a little bit from like just being in Europe, there's a lot of different nationalities that there are. So.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about
I don't know.
Going to the bathroom made
I'm
you change
to,
your nationality.
I'm to steer
I was
out
like,
of that joke somehow.
You can't do it. You can't steer out of it. I backed you into a corner.
You got me good.
You got an Austin Powers 100 point turn it.
I need to watch that.
Austin Powers is good. Powers. I like
is
them.
Is it a movie?
It's a movie. The third one does not hold up. The first one holds up okay. But you know what? They're a product of their time. That's for damn sure. But yeah, so talking about being foreign nationals, living all over the place. So I was born in America, but my dad is English. I'm a dual citizen. So I have spent a lot of time all over the place with family and with myself. You know,
you spend a lot of time with yourself if you think about it.
That's true. I spent my whole life with myself.
Most
unfortunately
of the time that you spend your time you spend it with yourself.
I would say the vast majority of your time is spent with yourself, right? So like, who's to say? I don't know, man. Like
it is literally all of the time except when you're blacked out. That's when you're not with yourself.
That's
or when
true.
You're sleeping. Which is also a form of being somewhere foreign, if you believe in astral planes and parallel dimensions. Sleeping can be a way to escape.
Was that Doctor Strange where it was like dreams are different dimensions? Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
Was that Doctor Strange?
The new one, yeah.
The new one. Oh, I need to watch that. Oh my god, there's so many movies that I need to watch. This feels exactly what I said recently on Twitter, and you replied to it, is where like there's so much stuff coming out all the time and I'm so behind on all of it.
I feel that.
And I want to be on top of it, but I can't. There's just not enough of me to keep up with all of that.
Yeah. It's just too much going on.
I was going to talk about how... So wait, you were born in America, and like, how long did you live in the UK? Did you live in the UK for like,
so
like, did you grow up in America? Because
yeah,
like, I grew up in Europe.
I grew up in America, but I spent probably at least a couple months every year in the UK. So for like a lot of my young life,
you're an ongoing.
I'm back and traveler. Forth. Yeah,
back and forth.
Up until I graduated college, I would spend like at least a month every year in the UK. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh man, that opens up a lot of doors, doesn't it?
It used to, not so much after Brexit, because my UK passport used to be an EU passport, right? So I could go anywhere in the European Union by just scanning my hand. Now it's a little less easy. Still fairly easy. But it's kind of a pain in the dick. Yes, I was really hoping Brexit wouldn't happen.
It is, gosh, because growing up living in Europe, you get so used to all of these like I know that that's one of the differences from like living in America or like being born in America and being like a national of another state, whatever it is in the world. America has a lot of open borders where people who are American citizens can just go to a country and just be there for a while.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is not the case for many European countries, especially like the smaller ones. Being a Russian national who was a resident in Ukraine for most of my life, we had to get visas every single time we wanted to go anywhere.
Yeah.
It's such an interesting process too. Like you book your vacation like months in advance and then you... 4 months before the trip, you go to the consulate, and then you leave there, and then for months you wonder, are you gonna get that visa or not?
Yeah.
Will I need to cancel my vacation because this fucking consulate decided that I don't deserve this fucking visa?
Yeah. Well, see, that's where it gets hard, is it with like being a Russian citizen? That's where it gets hard because Russia
does
not play nicely with the rest of the world. So.
I feel like that's
part of it, right? So like as an American citizen, it's easy to get into the UK. Even if I didn't have my UK passport, it's really easy to get into the UK. But like I can imagine as an American citizen trying to go into Russia, that would just not go well.
No. I mean, I think they do have didn't have enough time to repeal it. They had some laws where people who are American nationals have like 30 days that they can be in the country without the visa. Probably something like that. Like same that like the nationals of Israel have the same thing where most of the countries in the world will accept them for like up to 30 or 60 days depending on the country. They don't have to have a visa to go in or out.
Just have to hope you don't get snatched and grabbed.
I guess so. Yeah. Which is a completely separate thing.
They'll take you like they take the freaking sports people and be like, we have your sports person. They maybe smoked weed and so we detained them and now they're a hostage. And it's like, stop.
That is just such a blatant grab.
Yeah.
Like, I could talk about it for...
Well, it's one of those things where it's like I always see people on like YouTube and shit. They're like, oh, we're going to push the boundaries. We're going to do it. Like, I did a thing on YouTube. He has another YouTube channel. I did a thing as a maker.
The name of the channel?
Yeah. He has another channel called, I think, Boy Boy, which is him and his buddy. And they went to North Korea to get a haircut. There's a whole video about it. They actually go to North Korea for a haircut for a video. Yeah.
Just a haircut.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things where it's like, why would you push it? I mean, they're Australian, right? So it's a little, they're not American. So it's a little less target on your back. But like, why would you do that? Why would you push that boundary? Because you know that if it goes bad, it'll go bad. Like, why would you push that boundary? It's just not even worth it. You know,
I guess people just see the risk and they're like, well, this is gonna get us a lot of views. Yeah. So.
To be fair, the video was really good, but but
see, case in point.
Yeah. Well, but it's just one of those things. You know what I mean? Where it's just kind of like I don't personally. I'm not necessarily risk averse, but I'm not an idiot. You know, and that feels like a dumb thing to do.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It does seem like a dumb thing to do.
I got bit by a spider.
That is not a spider. That's pliers.
Oh my god, you're right. Oh,
spider pliers.
My spider pliers. Hoo-wee. See,
like
you think it's got two legs, but it's actually got eight legs.
There's, my goodness. And then, don't cut yourself.
And then
that's like spider pliers.
Don't cut
like
myself.
Jesus Christ. Put that away, please. What do you have? A knife?
No. Like anytime I open a box on stream and Ginger's there, Ginger's like, "Stop it! Knife! Put it down!" And I'm like, "No!" Oh god!
Oh Jesus Christ! Was that a Vine or a TikTok?
I think it was a TikTok.
God, my memory's so fucking shot.
Nah, I mean it's a Vine-length gag, so I get it.
Yeah, spider pliers, by the way, sounds like a Markiplier.
Spider pliers is the pliers to the spiders.
It,
yeah,
it either sounds like a spider, like a Markiplier character or an MCU character.
I could see that being an MCU character for sure.
Yeah. Like Spider-Man goes away for whatever reason, and the spider pliers join the troop, join the cast.
You're not Spider-Man. No, you're right. I'm spider pliers. I'm here to ply open all of your things that spiders might use. So
I swing around like a spider and have plies for my hands.
Wow.
What the fuck was that noise that I just did? not the noise, the voice. Oh my god. From travel to spider pliers, welcome to this podcast.
Woo-hoo.
I also wanted to discuss maybe food, international food, because that is always an interesting topic to explore.
Yeah.
You lived in Morocco for 1 year. I remember you told me about it, but like, what about like the national cuisine? Did you get to try a lot of national cuisine while you were there?
I tried a decent amount.
Is Moroccan cuisine like heavily French influenced?
No, it's very Mediterranean because it's right on the ocean. Yeah, Morocco is a coastal country.
Isn't it like in West Africa?
It's in Northwest Africa. It's literally like Africa has the rounded bit, right?
Northwest,
It's at the top
Wouldn't
of the rounded
Atlantic?
Bit.
Wouldn't that be Atlantic?
Let me look at a map.
Let me remember real quick. Because I know that Mediterranean cuisine is very...
So it is Atlantic Ocean, but like you have Morocco and then you get into like Algeria... Tunisia.
I know that Algeria is very French influenced. I don't know about Morocco.
Like, okay, so the tip of Morocco, like where it meets up with Spain, basically, right, is on the Alboran Sea. The Alboran Sea connects directly to the Mediterranean. But the food is basically the same. It's very fish heavy, fish grains like couscous and stuff like that. They had a lot of tagine, basically a clay, it's like a clay plate, and then it has a funnel on it, basically a big clay funnel, and the top of the funnel is open, and you put all the food in that, and then you bake it in the tagine, and it's really good. It's very, very good.
On the fire or in the coals?
Yeah, I mean, like in anything, yeah.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, it's really good. Moroccan food is fucking banging. I really, really like it.
Are there any like regional influences in there? Like,
how do you mean?
Would you know, like, from other like African countries or maybe like European?
I mean, there's like heavy. It's like a mixture, right? Because like the national languages of Morocco are like French and Arabic, right? So yeah,
that sounds about right.
Yeah. So like you have a lot of like French Euro influences and you have a lot of Middle Eastern influences. So it just kind of depends where you go. Yeah. It depends on what part of Morocco you're in. Like southern Morocco is on the Sahara, basically. So it's like,
Well, there's not a lot of people there.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, northern Morocco has a lot of Spanish influences because literally it's the Strait of Gibraltar.
Right across the canal, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
What's that canal called?
The Strait of Gibraltar.
Gibraltar. Yeah.
Well, Gibraltar is a place. The Strait of Gibraltar is the channel.
Yeah. A lot of this knowledge that I'm pulling right now is mostly from playing historical strategy games.
Europa Universalis, all right, let's go!
Yeah, and Victoria too. Like it's
both of those games are so far over my head. I love Civ. Europa Universalis?
They're way too close to like the real world to like. I look at the games right now and I'm like, if I didn't have the friends that I had back then who were just like nerds, mostly, I probably wouldn't have played that game and I wouldn't have known as much about history as I do as is.
Fair
like,
play.
I wouldn't be able to pull up information like a computer right now for you, but definitely random facts sometime throughout like discussions of historical periods, sure, I will shoot off some. But I used to be the only person who would reply to the questions of the history teacher in class because I played so many historical games.
Oh my god.
I knew most of the stuff, and sometimes here's the catch. Sometimes the facts wouldn't be quite accurate. So like if I wasn't talking to like a historian or a history teacher, they wouldn't bat an eye. But because I was playing the history games and not necessarily like watching documentaries and stuff, sometimes the circumstances for the historical events that would happen in those games wouldn't be exactly matching to the what like exactly was happening. So the history teacher would hear me out whatever I'm replying to him to, and he's like, are you sure those were exactly like the like I don't know why something seems off in your reply, what you said.
Yeah,
I was like, you're right, maybe I was wrong because I'm playing games and not reading the books.
I just know bits and pieces.
Yeah, that's the danger of education through gaming. But I guess that's how I know a lot of my geography and like a lot of my history. And most of that is also like Victorian period. So, you know, it has a very limited usefulness.
Yeah.
A little bit too long ago, a little too little. I was asking all of that because I'm thinking about the cuisine of like where I grew up.
Uh-huh.
For the longest time, I couldn't really figure out, what characterizes like Ukrainian Russian cuisine. Then I realized that a lot of our cuisine is actually influences from other cultures, and I was like, okay, work. Slay.
Cool. I mean, hell yeah.
But it's like even the like the everyday life and just going to the grocery store is so different here,
yeah,
from abroad.
That's true.
I don't know about the UK if it's much more different than here, but
oh yeah,
like what about the convenience stores? Like when you go to a convenience store, what do you expect to buy?
Okay, store? So how do you mean convenience store? You mean like a gas station?
See, that's what I mean. Our gas stations are not like here's snacks and water, and also we make our own hot dogs. We don't do that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. In our gas station, it would be like maybe water and maybe some snacks. But here, when I go to a gas station, it's like I can buy milk here. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. Well, so like in the UK, there's like what's called a newsagent, Which is basically, it's the convenience store part of a gas station, but there's no gas station, right? But it's basically you go there and it has all the newspapers.
Hold up, what?
It's the convenience store portion of the gas station, but there's no gas station.
So just a convenience store?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
But it's called a news agent.
That was a little confusing, the way you explained it.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah, it's called the news agent. Because it's where you basically, like, traditionally, it's where you would go to get your morning paper if you didn't have it delivered, right?
Makes sense.
So, but, like, they have everything from, like, little snacks to, like, your necessities, like milk and, like, pork pies and shit like that, right? Like, bacon. And then, you know, soda pop, wine, a couple beers, lottery tickets, that kind of shit. But
it's like a smaller thing.
Yeah.
It's very limited.
Yeah, it's very, very limited.
In our countries, because of how, like, even the Eastern and Western Europe would differ a lot, but the one thing that we have in common is that we don't do convenience as often, if that makes any sense. Like, a lot of the stuff that we eat and that we consume is usually made at home.
Yeah.
Here in America, when I first came here, is the first time that I encountered where people would go to the store and buy an apple and a bottle of wine for the night. And that's it. Like, I wouldn't usually see that in a supermarket. Do you know what I mean?
I don't.
Like, for me in Europe, when I would go to a supermarket, the thing would be like grab a cart and then have a list of groceries that you have to buy, and that's usually what people would do. And those grocery stores wouldn't have any like other gimmicks like, hey, we have a food court, or like we have a, I don't know, a section with medicine. Like, that's not a thing.
Interesting.
Our supermarket is for food. And that's it.
Yeah.
If you want to go for medicine and stuff like that, there's a medicine shop like down the street.
Yeah, there's a chemist.
Everything is very separate and like dedicated. Which is why when I first came to the United States, the first month or two, I would be like, okay, I need, like, I don't know, ibuprofen. Where do I find a local medicine shop?
Yeah.
And then I would ask a person, they would go, what is a medicine shop? Just go to a convenience store. And I'm like, what is a convenience store?
Yeah.
In Europe, it's a very dedicated experience. I'm going out. I need to hit this store, and then I need to get some groceries on the way back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So in Morocco, the big thing, like, there's lots of little shops, right, that you can pop in. Like, in the community that I lived in, like, around the corner, there was a place called The Bim, which was, like, a convenience store that had, like, everything you could possibly need, right? Like, bread, meat, all the little things you need. And then around the back of The Bim was a little hole in the wall that had, like, literally a hole in the wall that just, like, the walls were full up of stuff. So, like, you could get some random toothpaste, you could get Pringles, you could get pain au chocolat, which is just like basically a croissant with Nutella in it, but it was made fresh and it was delicious. All these little things that you could, like, whatever you need, you could just like pop in there and they probably have it, right?
Croissant and Nutella, sign me the fuck up.
It's good. It's real good.
Right now.
But the other piece of it is, when you go into the city, we have this thing called Marjan. Marjan is basically Walmart, but it's less about stuff and more about like all the groceries you could possibly ever need. So it's like all the food, all the drinks. They have like the little medicine section where you can go and get like toothpaste and deodorant and fucking antacids and over the counter stuff, right? Or not over the counter stuff, the stuff that you can buy normally, right? And then a lot of produce and stuff like that, right?
Yes.
That's like the main thing there. So it's interesting. Like, I think there might have been chemists in Morocco, but you could just get the majority of what you needed from Marjan. And we were back and forth between Morocco and England fairly often. So if we needed specific stuff, we could usually stock up in England and just bring it back. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is
Because, like, the other piece of it is flights are super fucking cheap when you're actually in Europe.
Especially when you're in Europe and everything is, like, an hour away.
Yeah, exactly.
People literally drive to other countries to work sometimes and live in another country. It's wild.
Absolutely.
But it is so convenient at the same time. I'm also, remember, you were talking about that giant supermarket where you go to buy everything.
Mm-hmm.
They tried building something similar in Ukraine where I lived, and they called it something similar to, like, a if you were to translate it directly, it's a compound word of, like, a settlement settlement supply.
Uh-huh.
Like anything a settlement might need in one building.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of looked like a giant two-story Costco.
Oh, wow.
Like if somebody were to just build a Costco in Ukraine, mm-hmm. that was what it was. And it literally stuck out like a sore thumb. Like, they tried to make a mall in a place where there aren't usually malls anywhere.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was a weird thing for a while until for the first year and a half or two, I don't know how they didn't go out of business. Every time we would go there, the only reason we would stop there was because they had some convenience items that wouldn't be in the shops in, like, the little countryside town that we lived in.
Uh-huh.
And every time we would stop there, it would just be empty, like, empty parking lot completely. It picked up steam after, like, 2 or 3 years, but I don't know how the fuck they stayed in business until then. It was really interesting to watch because it's just not, like, those kinds of convenience stores are just not a thing.
Yeah.
It is just so fascinating to me how people sometimes live in America and they just don't know anything else. That is so wild to me to think about.
Yeah. I can't imagine it.
It, me neither, because, like, I'm so grateful to my parents that they showed me so much of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like, that I know that I know. Like, I don't know how to phrase it properly. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
The fascination of people being just living their lives.
Yeah.
Not knowing anything else. It's so fascinating.
I it always blows my mind when people are like, yeah, I've never left my state. It's like, how have you never left your state? Like, what? The world is your oyster. America is your oyster. If you really, really are that persnickety.
Yeah. Like, what?
Persnickety.
Is that a word?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Learn something new every day.
Persnickety, placing too much emphasis on trivial or minor details, or fussy.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, fussy, I know. That word I know.
But, like, for reference for how cheap flights are in Europe, mm-hmm. a flight from Dublin to the regional airport near my family, round trip, guess how much?
$80 to $100.
29 euro.
That's a lot cheaper than I remember.
Yeah, baby. I mean, it's Ryanair, but...
yeah, that would make sense why it's so cheap then. Wait, Dublin to where?
A regional airport near my family. That will not be, like, disclosed at this moment.
In the UK?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. We would... when we would take, like, flights from Ukraine to, like, I don't know, Austria sometimes, it would cost us, like... round trip ticket per person would be like $50.
Dang.
The travel was the cheap part. And that is also so confusing when you come back to the US and the flight from Seattle to California, San Francisco, where I have my friend I visited last year, that came out to be like about $500 round trip.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, why the fuck is this so expensive?
It's pricey.
It is pricey.
Yeah.
And you are the lucky one, the Mr. Deals guy.
Oh, well, it helps that my brother's miles. A flight attendant.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's very helpful.
Using all of the connections that you can.
Hey, connections are how life is lived, baby.
Connections are everything, is what I'm just learning.
It's truge. Big truge.
find it so difficult to like actually use the connection sometimes.
Yeah, I mean that's valid. That's super valid.
But that just comes from being an anxious mess. Okay, well, I think this is a good place to end.
Because I guess
this,
so, yeah.
This week's episode was, I'm just going to be honest with everyone here, is this kind of a struggle bus right now with everything.
It's okay. I think we had some good conversation.
We got through,
yeah.
Even like right now. I'm proud of us.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, Brother Bear.
What I want to do is cultivate the work ethic and the culture in this company where we really, really put the interest of the
That's the podcast, first. Everybody. I get enough of that during the day. I don't need to hear from you. Done with this.
Drag them.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Thank y'all for watching.
Yeah, thank you everybody for hanging out. Don't forget to put the company interest first.
Damn right.
Talk to you guys in about 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye, y'all. Bye.